Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Are the days of Zechariah warned of upon us? Join Stephen Bannoun and host Bonnie Harvey for a discussion of Jerusalem, the Flashpoint.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Flashpoint, where we'll be the spark that ignites the world. With me, of course, Stephen Bannoun. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thank you, Bonnie. So glad to be here today.
Well, the first half is going to be largely spent on Iran, and then we're going to move into Planet X, the second half. But Stephen, let's just start, and we're kind of meander around the globe a little bit. So what's Iran doing, Stephen?
Well, right now, the situation going on in Iran is that we have more ships headed into the direction of Iran right now. And according to Radio Farda, they're saying that U.S. warships have joined, they've joined up the Fifth Fleet in what appears to be a rotation. But now they're saying a rotation. But what's interesting, Bonnie, is what a lot of people are not aware of is that the British are also sending in their military as well. And so we have both U.S. and British warships that have come into the region there. We already have the USS Abraham Lincoln that's accompanying the vessels in the region there. Of course, its own strike force with that. Now a new fleet coming in, the USS John P. Murtaugh, which is an amphibious dock landing ship. USS Harper's Ferry have arrived with the Fifth Fleet in the area of that responsibility. So there is a major buildup. And then we're also seeing right now that the United States is very much involved with diplomatic relations across the Middle East. We are seeing whether it be Pompeo, John Bolton, meeting with Israeli counterparts, other Middle Eastern counterparts that are being met with. And normally when you have this type of meetings going on, which some of this is very open to the public, and that is that they're trying to garner up support for a war in the region. And top that off, we have, let's see here, also being reported here on Newsweek, Russia warns U.S. and Israel that Iran is its ally and was right about the shooting down of the drone. President Trump now putting on sanctions on the leadership, Khomeini. I don't know if it's Rouhani as well. They're putting the sanctions on them, adding those new sanctions. And now Zarif, the foreign minister of Iran, says that this will permanently end any kind of negotiations or dialogue between the United States and Iran. So the tensions are really building up, escalating very rapidly in the region. And again, just for a reminder of the listeners here on Hebrew Nation Radio, where we're speaking at, that is that this whole situation has been escalated by what was told to the public that Iran had just recently bombed two or attacked two Japanese tankers at the same time that the President Mr. Abe from Japan was meeting with the Khomeini, trying to help bridge the gap between the United States and them. And of course, the two ships were attacked. We were being told in the American press that there was a landmine that struck the side of the ship, actually was magnetically placed on there. We were shown all types of photographs, or not photographs, but video footage by the United States that indeed the Iranians had come in there and they were removing one of those landmines off the side of the ship. Now, all the different intel that I have, including right there from the Middle East, right there on the Persian Gulf, intelligence that I was getting from there, is that that was all false. And in fact, right from the from D.C. itself, I was getting intel to confirm that this was only a cover story, that it was not really, it was not, there was no, no sub attack, there was no landmines, all this was completely fabricated. But at the same time, U.S. intel was saying that the Chinese were working with the Iranians on some advanced technology that is beyond the mitigation of the United States military right now, which some people find that they think that's really hard to believe. But, you know, some of the smartest minds in the world come from the Far East, whether it be Japan or China. Some of the best technology has come from there. So, but this is directly from D.C. that this information is being told to us here. And at the same time, even like in the video footage that they were showing of the Iranian vessel next to it, one thing I needed to remind people about, in fact, I actually went in depth on Israeli News Live about this issue here, was all the way back starting in May 6th and on May 14th on Israeli News Live, we had reported on our YouTube channel there that there were incidents where the very group, the Mujahideen of Iran, which is supported heavily by John Bolton, had been there. Some of their members had been arrested in Kuwait for purchasing the exact same replica of vessels, the water vessels there, the boats that are used by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, they had been caught trying to purchase those boats there. Well, later we got the intel as well from the same source that the United Arab Emirates had been working very closely with Israeli Mossad to train ISIS militants to carry out those attacks in the Persian Gulf. Now, I didn't get any denial either, Bonnie, from D.C. when I brought this up. There was no denial of these things being true. There was no admission either. So I have to show both sides of this. No admission, no denial. But there, of course, still on the U.S. side, the danger that the U.S. is concerned about is the technology. This is what was not being made public. Something that we were even asked to make public was that the China-Iranian cooperation with this technology, and I'm assuming it is a war technology because Iran was threatening to take out the entire U.S. naval fleet. So we'll see whether or not that's actually going to come to pass or not, if they really have this technology, because from what it looks like right now, we're about to see a major catastrophic war that could happen right in the Middle East there with Iran. And these are some things, too, that I have heard that is a very real possibility. And there are some out there that are even suggesting that if the U.S. does go at it with Iran, that there will be not just a small scale, but a large scale of tactical nukes that would be used in this exchange. And that, of course, especially when we look at Newsweek saying that Russia warns the U.S., Israel, that U.S. and Israel, that Iran is its ally. This could change the balance of what's going on. And then to make matters worse, Zero Hedge is now reporting that NATO, and this is Jens Stoltenberg, the head of the NATO forces there, tells Russia to destroy their new missiles or face consequences. So now Russia is under the threat. And Tyler Durden with Zero Hedge is reporting this, that that the new missiles that Russia is deploying violates the 1987 Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, the INF. And that happens to be, according to the article right here, it says the United States and its NATO allies want Russia to destroy its 9M729SSC-8 nuclear-capable cruise missile system, which Moscow has so far refused to do. It denies any violation, of course, of the INF treaty, but I don't think it really matters about the INF treaty at this point, because Trump was the first one to announce that the United States would pull out of the INF treaty, citing violations of the treaty by Russia. And then, of course, then about 6 months later, we have Vladimir Putin also going before his government to also step out of the INF treaty, pending that the U.S. would return, according to his own statement there. So we're rapidly moving to another, not just an arms race, but with all these threats in every direction there. I think we're about to go beyond just the arms race, and this is not going to be good. By the way, those land cruise missiles do have a range between 300 to 3,400 miles. So that was back during the time when Ronald Reagan was president and Mikhail Gorbachev was president of Russia. And so,
you know,
this
I
is,
found
this could
a
be
site that is a collection of prophetic dreams that people have had. And, you know, when you go there and read, but a lot of them say, you know, it's just here and there people that are very sincere. One of them, well, lots of them have dreams about just what we're speaking of. In fact, one saw the USS Lincoln sinking, and that there are strange enemies in strange places, it seemed to hint. This site, whydogodreallyexists.com, it's very interesting. Anyway, don't mean to interrupt you, but
that's okay. So, dream as far as the USS Lincoln being sunk, is that, you know, you know, Bonnie, that's interesting you bring that up, because there's a person that contacted me in our emails here, and I have not had an opportunity to respond to them as of yet, but they as well have written me about a dream that they had where the USS Abraham Lincoln actually is sunk over there in the Middle East, and this is what will escalate the war in the region. And, you know, but what's really sad as well is, could it be sunk because of the technology that Iran has and the boats they're making? Or is this going to be something that is done kind of like the Twin Towers to provoke a broader war in the region? You know, there's another article here, too, I'd share with our listeners. The U.S. intelligence, this is from Sputnik, says military work on secret measures to deter Iran in the Gulf region. And they're citing here that U.S. intelligence and military are developing covert plans aimed at deterring Iran's alleged aggression in the Persian Gulf without plunging the region into a full-scale war. The New York Times newspaper reported, citing former and current officials. They're saying here that the White House has asked intelligence and the military to come up with countermeasures similar to last week's cyber attack against Iran, as well as with new operations that could be similar to the ones carried out by Tehran itself. They're also saying that the officials did not give any details about the operations that were being considered against Tehran, but according to the New York Times, the deterrent measures may include more cyber attacks, covert destabilizing operations in Iran, actions against Iran's proxies, and operations against Iran's boats that had allegedly carried out the recent attacks on the oil tankers in the region. I find that a little bit interesting, because we know who actually did the attack. So does that mean that the United States is going to be willing to target the very ISIS members that they have I can't say the U.S. did this directly, because I do know that it was the United Arab Emirates, which, by the way, just recently repledged their support to the United States in the battle, whether it be against Iran or any other assets in the region there. I guess the point I want to make here is that we know that. Let me back up just a little bit, Bonnie. Here, the ships, or not the ships, but the speedboats that are being used by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard were purchased by Iran from Sweden. This is where these vessels were made. They normally have machine guns mounted on the bow of these boats here, and this is what they use to chase boats and stuff like that there in the Persian Gulf. And in fact, another thing we might bring to light as well, because we think about this, Sweden actually sells on these vessels, right? Well, Israel is the one that sold Iran the missiles they needed that could carry nuclear warheads. Think about that for a moment. A lot of people don't even think about these things.
I thought it was very interesting. Last week, you hazarded that the U.S. had gone in, had raised up a bunch of violent, depraved people, furnished them, moneyed them, equipped them, trained them. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? And then perhaps they've lost control. Perhaps Mossad has taken over where CIA left off, and they're the ones that are now finishing the training and setting them up in an effort to get rid of Iran and also involve the U.S. in helping them get rid of Iran. Do you think that, Stephen?
Well, when it comes down to the U.S. starting this off, and then maybe Mossad picking this up to facilitate taking down Iran, we know that if we go even back to General Wesley Clark, we knew all the nations were going to be taken down. Who was the one that ever spearheaded this idea in the minds of the U.S. military is beyond my understanding at this point right now. But nonetheless, there is a major major push for a new world order. And that new world order is not going to go by the wayside anytime soon. They're talking about Jerusalem being the head of the new world order. This is where it will actually be run from. I'm getting reports, Bonnie, because one of the things that me and my wife have spoken on extensively is the Noahide laws, how they're under our U.S. Constitution, things like that. I shouldn't say the U.S. Constitution, but they're in our U.S. laws under the education bill. I think that's 114-12, forgive me if I didn't quote that exactly right. But at any rate, this is something that is growing daily, and we're getting reports in that new Chabad organizations are popping up all over the world, especially in Mexico and other places like that where they've never been before. And they're going in and they're training the Messianic believers in those areas under Noahide law principles so that they can enforce this in the near future. So if you take that and we couple in what's happening in the Middle East here, it's almost like a global dominancy. But the sad thing is, what a lot of people are not aware of is that all these nations, I can't speak for Iran in this case, but many nations are in concert with one another to bring about this new world order. And I've even been told that Russia also is playing that part. It's not like that Russia is going to, we'll take up for Iran this week and we're going to beat up the Americans if they didn't even try to attack. It's not really like that. What's really coming down to the end of the day here is that Russia is also involved in this New World Order project. And Russia is going to play their part. And part of their part in this is dealing with the United States. And it's not that Russia, as far as this New World Order, wants to send the U.S. into oblivion with its nuclear weapon capabilities. But it is the fact, and this is just an observation, but it's the fact that the United States, they want to do, I would call it a shock and awe, a large enough attack on this country here that would send fear into the American people. And it could end up escalating more than just a small attack. But let's say they use 3 nukes. This is something that I've been told through intelligence communities, that a limited nuclear strike would happen here in the United States. It would be enough to bring about martial law. It would cause an implosion of society. And then eventually it would also bring about a disarming of the nation because, of course, they'll declare martial law. There'll be pandemonium. People will not be able to get food, things like that, regardless, even if it's an EMP attack. Now, I do know that John Moore, he's a good friend of mine, and John believes that they would not use an EMP attack, but they would use, and he may be right on this, he said they would actually use a cyber attack and take down certain parts of the grid to where they could control it, but yet at the same time, the U.S. people would, it'd still have the same effect. Let's put it that way there. And of course, he's got some of the same intel that I do, but just from different sectors there, that there are Russian military, there are Chinese military that are shacking up here in the United States, waiting for the day when the orders are given that you know, okay, now we have to disarm the nation. Because let's face it, nationalism, whether it be American nationalism, whether it be Russian nationalism or any other country in the world, is not going to work in a new world order. They want global communism. And then the laws will be set into place. Now, granted, keep in mind, I believe in the coming of Jesus Christ. I believe that Yeshua HaMashiach will actually come and will bring judgment to the world for what they're doing. But what I'm sharing with you is what their plans are, what they're trying to do, because they're trying to bring about an Antichrist spirit. They want a false Messiah. And maybe I shouldn't even say they want a false Messiah, but it's what they believe is the Messiah. And that's what is actually coming. And so when I look at everything that's going on, Bonnie, in the world today, and I see all these buildup of forces, whether it be against Iran or any other nation. In fact, it's not just Iran. If we think about it, just like General Wesley Clark said, if you the whole Middle East is being destroyed, and they're not done. They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. They didn't stop with Iraq. They're not going to stop with Syria. They're not going to stop. They'll take Lebanon down. They've already dealt with Northern Africa, and they're going back to Northern Africa. I guess Libya didn't get quite done the way they thought it should be done, so they're going to go back. And don't forget Sudan. Is in that whole group of nations as well. And so they're dealing with that. Even Russia has their own forces down in that region as well through the Wagner Corporation. So it's a really, it's a global counter peg, powder keg. And now we're on the verge of a major escalation of war intentions there with Iran. And Iran is going to spark off a lot more. We also have in Georgia, south of Russia there, they've got trouble on their border. Now we have this issue with the NATO threatening Russia on Russia's western flank. And now we have even Trump talking about he's going to break the agreements that they've had with Japan since the Second World War. And a lot of people might think it's good. I don't know, because he says we got the short end of the stick, so to speak. But it's just things are changing, and they're changing rapidly. And, of course, we've got the Jared Kushner's peace plan with Israel, or with Palestinians, partial release of that. And the Palestinians already rejecting this. And just from looking at the players involved in that deal there, so all these different Sunni Arab states there, this tells me it's New World Order written all over every bit of it.
Yes, even our own leaders. They know that a bigger ship is coming along, and in order to get a berth on it, they have to give up their own country. So they're all traitors. When the Democratic Party, well, they're not Democratic, when the Democrats kick God out of their platform,
then that
says a lot. I mean, I think a lot of them, especially at the top, are active Satanists.
There's, you know, Bonnie, that's what it comes down to. And this whole thing, when it comes to this Antichrist spirit, I'm really blown away at how many believers in Yeshua are even falling into this trap. They really believe that this is of God. And I mean, it's just like, for example, let's if you take it, for example, the idea of the third temple being built, sacrifices being offered again. Now they sell the coins and stuff. And Yana was doing some amazing research there. She discovered that the selling of these coins, I think it's the Trump coin, where it's about the Trump with Trump on one side and the Sanhedrin
Cyrus.
Cyrus on the other side.
Yeah.
Do you know the proceeds of this are going not only for the helping of the reconstruction of the third temple, but it's also going to for the animal sacrifices, so that they can use that to purchase all the animals that they will need that they're going to slaughter there. And so inevitably, when you get involved in these things here, you're getting involved in things that are totally against Christ. And I'm seeing an amazing move against the principles that we've always held dear that came from the Berith Chadashah, the New Testament. It's just mind-boggling. And it's just, it is taking the world by storm. And people are forsaking their very beliefs in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Some people are not that crazy about saying the name of Jesus Christ, you know, and I understand people like to say the name Yeshua. But there's one thing that I keep noticing, Bonnie, that's very troubling to me, and that is the name Yeshua in the Hebrew language means salvation. And it's so easy for those that have a sinister plan to use the name Yeshua, and believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, the true Yeshua, can be easily manipulated into thinking that these people are actually referring to our Savior who came and died for our sins 2,000 years ago. And it's like almost, I know this is totally off track in what we were talking about, but it's almost like another gospel. But I shouldn't say it's really off track, because, you know, Bonnie, I think this is the whole goal of what they're doing right now. These wars, the deep state, whether it's the deep state in the United States, the deep state in Israel, even the deep state of Russia, Putin, he's probably got more power as a president than what Donald Trump does. But even Putin does not have full control of his country. It is the bankers of his nation. And he had to make a covenant with the bankers of his nation, which, by the way, the bankers of his nation are very, very wealthy Rothschild type of people. Maybe not with the same name of Rothschilds, but these are those elite in his nation. This is why we see that Russia passed the anti-Semitism law in the country, which is not just, I mean, if it was against, you know, bringing cruelty to the Jewish people, I'd be on board with everybody fighting for this as well. But that's not what it is. Just like in Florida when they passed it here. It's to silence the people so you don't dare speak about, oh, wow, what really happened on 9/11? Oh, wow, the world bankers that are running it are Rothschilds and people of this nature here. Those are considered anti-Semitic statements. And eventually, it'll become law in the United States as well. And you could spend up to 10 years, or I think it's 20 years in prison for violating that. For just suggesting that, for example, that 9/11 was an inside job, and when you begin to name all the different companies that were involved from the very beginning to the end of what happened there, including the disposing of all the evidence so no inquiry could ever be done, if you were to even say who was involved, you'd go to prison for 20 years.
Well, when lies become truth, truth becomes criminal. That's what we're seeing all across the board. The same is going to be true soon for Islam. Nobody on the planet, according to the UN, is going to be able to insult the prophet. So with that, you know, we have to close this one, but please stay with us, folks, for the next hour.
Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. For the days of Zechariah warned of upon us. Join Stephen Bannoun and host Bonnie Harvey for a discussion of Jerusalem, the Flashpoint.
Welcome everyone to the second half. Let's move on. Let's go to Japan, Stephen.
Sure. And speaking about Japan, everything is kind of strange the way that's gone on because, you know, Abe went to Iran, as we mentioned earlier, and this was kind of a very odd situation. I think one of the tankers was owned by Japan. The other one was owned by a different country, but they were both being fueled up and sent back to Japan. And I don't even think they were being fueled as far as by the Iranians. But nonetheless, both the ships were attacked that were headed to Japan. And at the very moment, in fact, they were struck when Abe was actually meeting with meeting with the Ayatollah of the nation there. And that sounds too much like an operation that is far more advanced than I think what Iran itself would carry out, because you have the intelligence knowing when the Japanese president is going to meet with their leader there, and then you strike right at that moment. That's sending a message. I think it sends a message because, one, I know that President Abe is not in favor of honoring the sanctions against Iran when it comes to purchasing the oil from them. They continue to do that. So I think it was a message being sent to the Japanese that the United States did not appreciate what they were doing. And yet President Abe was saying to the United States he was there to try to patch up the relationship between the United States and Iran, which kind of shows you that Japan does not seem to really realize the magnitude of cooperation between the United States and Israel. Because at the end of the day, this is what it's really all about. The U.S. is carrying out in the region there the wishes of the state of Israel. And, you know, I love my Jewish brothers and sisters over there, but unfortunately we do have some people in power there that are doing some very sinister things. And when I'm getting reports, you know, that the Israeli government is involved in training ISIS, and by the way, not just ISIS, Al-Qaeda members as well, with the United Arab Emirates in the region to carry out these attacks that are being done, and of course to do it with that type of precision, timing, etc., there was some definitely close collaboration with the United States in order to pull this off. That's the only way they could have made the attack at that very moment there. So with that being in mind, now we have it's being reported that the U.S. is ready to withdraw from the agreement on cooperation and security assurances with Japan. This is something that came out today. The President Trump is considering the agreement on the mutual cooperation and security guarantees with Japan to be unjust and unilateral signed in 1960. It is reported by Bloomberg. This is what's being reported by them. It's kind of funny. They did a typo in their article. They put 1060, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's interesting. I didn't know we had that long of a relationship with Japan. So, you know, but it's okay. I make worse typographical errors. I can promise you that. But anyway, so now that we're doing this, according to anonymous sources, that Trump is not satisfied with the situation when the United States should render assistance to Japan in the event of armed aggression, and official Tokyo does not have such mutual obligations. So the experts believe that the U.S. Withdrawal from the treaty will destabilize the situation in the Asia-Pacific region and will push the new arms race. Japan will think about nuclear weapons to protect against China and the DPRK at that time there. And quite frankly, if the U.S. pulls out from basically an umbrella for Japan, I mean, it's not like we were friends to begin with. We were certainly foes with Japan because, as you mentioned earlier, Bonnie, that Japan was being suffocated from the sanctions originally, and this is what started the attack on Pearl Harbor. But at the same token there, the U.S. has become an umbrella of protection over the years since that war, which really is not so much protection. I mean, we're an occupying force. Let's face it. Same thing with Germany. After World War II, the United States became an occupying force. That's why we have so many military bases around the world. We conquer, we defeat the nation, then we put our forces there and we keep the people in check. And of course, if Trump breaks that particular treaty with Japan, you know, we might say it would do good for America. I mean, hey, yeah, you save the money. You don't have to all the money spent on a military bases in Japan. But at the same time, what are we doing when we're doing this? Are we doing this intentionally so that Japan will be taken out next? Because quite frankly, Japan would be very similar to the United States or Russia. It's a nationalist type of country. It is a country that's very proud of its heritage. It's very nationalistic. And it's got a democracy in place. And the one thing that the New World Order does not want is any form of democracy. They can't control the people with a democracy. So they want to bring about a collapse of all democracies on a global scale. And so I think that this may be what we're looking at. And if Trump actually does this sooner than later and we get bogged down with a war with Iran, we may see that China decides to take its opportunity on two locations, one, Taiwan, and then secondly, on Japan. Yeah. And North Korea may go after South Korea at the exact same time, you know, because we can't do it.
Yeah. Did I miss it? Or what was the emissary of Japan saying that the United States didn't like whilst in Iran when the bombs were simultaneously set off in the Gulf of Oman? What were they acting against Israel?
Well, the thing is, the whole thing about when it comes to Japan, when they were there, like I said, the Japanese did not do anything wrong in this case at all. The Japanese were simply trying to bring about peace. They saw the escalation of the tensions. It's almost like, Bonnie, going back to 1987 when we had the tensions between Iran and the United States at that time as well. We had the buildup of forces in the region. We were having tankers being attacked at that time. And of course, I can't say back then what was really going on. Was that U.S. Covert operation? Were we using other Arab nations to attack these tankers and only blame it on Iran? That I'm not really sure about. I only know that this time around, we have a heavy hand involved in what's happening to make it look like to look like that it's actually Iran, so that the world will believe when we go to war against Iran that we were justified in what we did. But the problem is, Bonnie, is the rest of the world in that part of the region know that it's all fabricated lies. You know, this
yeah,
is
they do. We're not fooling anybody. In fact, you know, that's what Jeremiah 50:51 says, that nobody, when we're being attacked, nobody comes to our aid. None of our friends come to our aid. I think by that time, they will have had a belly full of you know, the, I mean, this is not the people, but the leadership of America, the CIA, and all the snakes, reptilians that worship Satan and want to bring about the New World Order, plus be in charge of it.
You know, that's exactly right, Bonnie. And the thing is, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because another thing that I find interesting is that, as you said, nobody would come to our aid. And isn't it odd that the President of the United States almost seemingly is intentionally cutting off every ally that we have in the entire world through threats, through sanctions? I mean, when I say threats, you know, listen, if you support President Trump, you think that he's doing a great job, I'm not here to criticize what your beliefs are on that. But if you think about what's really going on, look at what's happening, especially your Eastern European nations and Germany. Angela Merkel never wanted to see sanctions go on Russia. They had a great economic relationship. And we have caused more troubles in that part of the world, and of course the Middle East as well, because of what President Trump has done. Now, President Trump, of course, you know, he's saying that he does these things because it's going to benefit, we're going to make America great again. Well, how do you make America great again? I know, I understand his principle is we've been really cheated and stuff by a lot of the deals, and it's an unbalanced deal for us, which he's right in a lot of these things, especially in the fact that the United States has been the world's military police for every nation under the earth, and nobody really contributes any of their GDP towards helping finance and fund all of this. But at the same time, what have we done by doing what we did to start with? We have made some very wealthy people in this world, in the deep state, and they don't really give a flip what happens to the American government so long as they're getting all their big dollars put in their pockets.
Yeah, the American government, the American people, they want us to die.
Exactly. So, you know, we're really in a very awkward situation right now. And unfortunately, this hand has been given to us, it's been dealt. And but if you really look at it though, Bonnie, no matter which direction you look in, it is obviously that this is all New World Order written all over it. Just how serious and how deep this is, and you know. So I'm bothered by the situation that's happening right now, and I just don't see anything good coming out of what's happening, or anything good coming, period, in the near future out of all this. It seems that we're headed to a global war, but at the same time, you have to keep in mind, if we look at everything from a biblical standpoint, Satan is not wanting to just destroy the entire world. That's not really his intent. Because as Yeshua said, if Satan cast out Satan, then his kingdom is divided and it can't stand. So he doesn't want to destroy the world in that regards there. But, you know, he does want to bring about his new world order. And he wants to be worshipped. And what's very strange, of course, right now, there's a lot of extreme Talmudic rabbis that are looking for a as they call it, the holy serpent to come forth. They want their serpent Messiah to come forth.
You know, that just has to be. They have to be totally deaf to the symbolism to accept that. Totally deaf.
I know we got to get to this next subject, Bonnie. So
yes. Well, the next subject is Planet X.
Let's go there.
Oh, you know, by the way, on that dream, on the prophetic dreams that is, you know, why
quote some of the things that I do and some of the sources I have. It almost seems impossible to believe some of these things. And what I'm going to share with you may seem even more so that way.
I was on with Nathan Leal. I got in touch with Nathan Leal. He did an interview of a man who was a percipient witness at the interview of two astrophysicists that were hired by the Navy in the late 90s to investigate why their satellites were being burned up in space. And so these two astrophysicists said, well, we have no idea. Let's go study it. They came back with this report that this thing is approaching. It exudes phenomenal amounts of radiation, gamma, beta, X-ray, invisible ray, all kinds of electromagnetic, all manner of radiation, just like our sun. And it is, that's why it's burning up. In fact, the United States asked Russia if they were killing our satellites, the Navy, this is, are you doing this? They said, no, we thought you were the reason that our satellites were burning up. So anyway, this was the report. I think Nathan Leal still has it. But yeah, this thing, that the thing is, it has come before. I mean, when Yeshua was dark, when he died and it was dark for 3 hours, that's not an eclipse. We just had an eclipse here in Oregon, and the eclipse lasted, I think, at the max, 5 minutes. It was dark here about 2.5. So if it's dark for 3 hours, that is a planet going in front, or some orb going in front of the sun and blocking it out. So it has come before. In fact, that's why they think it. Let me see. Where is the meteor belt? I think it's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think it's the fifth planet from the sun. They figure that this thing smashed that planet, and what was in its wake are all the pieces of this planet that previously was in our solar system. But when this comes through, it goes through that asteroid belt, and it's in its extreme magnetism pulls the asteroids in the tail. So this thing is coming. The thing is okay, but its asteroid tail is not. So, Stephen.
Yes. So here's the thing. I decided, because I know I have a very high level official in Washington, that I wanted to put forth to him the question. I didn't know if he would answer me or not, but I wanted to put forth the question to him whether or not this Planet X, if he knew anything about it from his side. And to me, he said, we do know that there is. He said, it is true. There's a binary system out there. And he told me, he says, factually, he said he doesn't know of an arrival date. There's no specific arrival time that he is aware of. When I mentioned to him December of 2023, he felt like that was a bit aggressive as far as the arrival date. But this is not the biggest fear that they have. And he said to me that there is clearly that our solar system is currently approaching, I should say, and is starting to travel through a very large debris field. He said there is a truth to that binary system, and he says that he knew factually, that we're entering into, and he says we've already started to enter into that debris field now. Is a debris field that is associated with the binary system that many are calling Planet X. And of course, that being, as you said, a failed dwarf star, but it has its own solar system. So it's got its own planets that rotate around this failed dwarf system here. And he says, he said to me, he says, that he said, I can tell you officially that the only thing the government is planning is internally for a 2 to 3 week confirmation notice. So those people that are will be made aware that, okay, you're the ones that we're going to save. We're going to take and put you in the underground bunkers that we've built for it. They're only going to get 2 to 3 week confirmation that it's about to happen. He said, as far as the disclosure, the public will only get 1 to 2 day disclosure notice.
Yep. You and die, we're saved.
Right. He said, it's anticipated that someone somewhere in the world in some other country will actually disclose it shortly after they actually give the confirmation notice. You know, somebody's going to leak it out, in other words, no matter what happens. And he said their preparations are already largely complete. And he said to me that once that confirmation notice has been given, things will happen very fast. He said, I'm talking about like at the blink of an eye. And he also stated, though, he says, if people have not made the preparations before this thing gets here, he says you won't even have a chance, generally speaking. And he said, reporting, he said, you know, he said, if you even report this, like what he says to me, he said they would consider you a sensationalist fanatic. So this is why he told me, he said, you know, it's not something that normally should go public.
You know, I have read by that every time there's one of these major recalls, and just think of how many of the major food recalls we have had in the last 6 months, that they're actually seizing, commandeering this food to stock their own larders under the ground.
Yeah, that's because, Bonnie, they know that you're not going to need it if you're above the ground.
That's right.
Let me tell you what he said. I'll give you some more specifics on some of this. He said that the Earth is absorbing an enormous amount of energy for some unknown reason. He said it's not
radiation through the South Pole. Right. That's why glaciers are melting from the underside up.
Right. Well, he says that we're absorbing this energy, but we're not exhausting the energy.
No, and it's kinetic.
He said he's been told that that the Earth has the symptoms of being like a sick person with a fever. It gets hot and cold both ways. That's why we have, next thing you know, you have wild winters, but yes, then at the same time you have polar caps melting off.
Yes.
And he said also that that, let's see, what was it that he told me as well? Here, let me just see here. I'm just looking at some of my notes here. He did say also that when this thing comes through, or when we go through this debris field, whenever we get through it, when we get to the bad part of it, he said it'll be so catastrophic, it'll be practically no life on the planet would be saved.
And that's consistent with Yeshua. If he didn't cut it short, there would be no life on earth.
And, exactly. And that's a good point, Bonnie, right there.
And it's all coming to fruition. This thing, and what you just said, Stephen, was all, spoken by these two astrophysicists 20 years ago in response to the Navy hiring them. The weather will be wild. It'll be extremes. There might be a polar shift because this thing is coming on, and the north pole of that orb will push away our north pole, and then when it passes, you know, the south pole will repel our south pole, so the south pole will drag the north pole with it. So planet shift, huge winds up to 750 miles an hour, huge. We have in the palm of the Messiah's hand, that's the only safe place to be. And we are at a time Maybe we can pick this up again next week, but absolutely. Go and read Revelation 8, the trumpets. You know, who was this mountain, you know, falling into the sea, this star with a hail and fire mixed with blood? That is the melted ore, the melted rust from the asteroid. It's not
That's
blood.
Right.
It just looks like blood. A huge mountain falling into the sea, a blazing star, and all the rivers turn to poison. That is radiation. It just radiated all the water, and a third of the sun was struck. That is the debris field after it hits the earth and all the dust goes up. Read Revelation 7. I'm going to have to cut some of what we did out in order to get, in order to make sure we have products in there. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Thank you so much, Stephen. And Father willing, we shall see you next week.
Blessings to you all.